Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Hi, this is Nashville record producer Kim Copeland. Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Woods.
So glad you could join us today here on In the Country. Each week we bring you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country artists. Special thanks to Robert Moody, as always, for his help behind the scenes with the show. And a very special show indeed tonight from Massachusetts. We welcome Christian and country singer-songwriter Will Ferrarini. How are you doing tonight, Will?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Dave. I really appreciate it, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and we had a chance to talk yesterday, and I learned a lot of interesting things about your career, so I'm looking forward to our listeners finding out as well.
Great, I appreciate that, and I'd like to say hello to any of my MySpace friends or relatives or any other friends that are listening to the show. I appreciate you checking it out.
Isn't MySpace just a wonderful community, Will?
It's a great thing. You know, I got on there 3 years ago. A friend of my son recommended that I try it. I was skeptical at the time, and it turned out to be one of the best things that's ever happened musically. To me, because the second friend that befriended me back 3 years ago was turns out to be one of the best filmmakers in the world, I think. His name is Glenn Switzer, and he really liked my music, encouraged me, and I started to, you know, to reach out to fellow Christians and all kinds of you know, everyone on the website, and you know, it was just a first time in a long time that I got confirmation of the fact that people liked my music, and it was really very inspiring. So it's been a great thing for me.
And maybe, Will, you can take us back to when it started for you singing. Now, an interesting story you told me sort of fell in line of how you became sort of an entertainer early in life with an Elvis impersonation at the barbershop when you were about 4 or 5. Great story.
Well, I was living in the Bronx my first 10 years, and my mother used to take me down to this barber shop, and I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my mother was my greatest fan, always was, all through my life. God rest her soul. She's passed away about 5 years ago, and every family get-together that we would go to and just about anywhere else, she was, you know, showing off her son's ability to sing. So I would do this hound dog imitation, and you know, they got a big kick out of it at the barber shop, and they'd give me free haircuts.
And who were some of your other That got you hooked, yeah, on the response. And so who, as you started to get a bit older, who were some of your other influences growing up musically?
Well, I really loved Frank Sinatra always. I was 8 or 9, 10 years old singing Frank Sinatra songs, and my friends, I remember at the time, were, you know, like, what kind of music is that? You know, most of them were into rock and roll or whatever, right. And so I always liked him, and so that's always been through and through my life. Also, the Beatles, naturally. You know, in the early '60s, when Ed Sullivan did his, you know, really big show, here they are, the Beatles, and I watched that original broadcast, and naturally fell in love with the sound, you know, and so I was always into trying to imitate either John Lennon or Paul McCartney. I loved their stuff, and had a lot.
That was such a big show at the time when they were on Ed Sullivan and breaking into the States, and wow, that must have been something to actually be watching it and feeling the energy.
Oh yeah, it was incredible, you know, and you know, at the time I was in seventh grade. I you know, it was the first time I kind of liked a girl, whatever, and that whole album, you know, was just a very romantic kind of album, and, you know, I think probably one of their best works when I look back at it now. Their simple, original stuff.
Right.
I thought was incredible, you know. So,
do you have a favorite Beatles song, one that you like to do the most?
Yesterday.
Ah, great song.
Yeah, I love that song, and I think that's one of his classics. You know, one of the best ones of all time. You know, I was influenced by Motown at the same time too. Heavily influenced by Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, Michael Jackson, the Jackson Five. I think it was a great time to grow up, 50s, 60s. And I co-wrote my first song in 1968, and it was a regional hit record in the Midwest, a song called Love, I Love You. And so that, again, got me more, you know, interested and more hooked on songwriting and singing, you know.
And you've, over the years, you were telling me about some of the trips you've made to Nashville that were quite interesting. And so that sort of has lent you or put you in the direction of country music to a certain degree along with Christian music. What's that like been? What's it been like going to Nashville?
The first trip that I made, I got on MySpace about 3 years ago. And I really, again, became... very encouraged by a lot of people, and I really want to, if any of them are listening, I want to thank them for really inspiring me to continue on. You know, it's been a lot of years I've been writing, and I, got more motivated to write and to do demos, and finally, after about 10 months on MySpace, I decided to take a crack at going down to Nashville. I'd never been there. And it was just, a coincidence. I was in a bar to go listen to somebody, one of those MySpace friends, and I was standing next to a guy, and we started up a conversation, and he told me that he was playing at a place called Losers down there. And he asked me if I could play a couple of songs. He had never even heard my material, and I said, sure, you know, I'll do you a favor and come over, and right about half an hour before the performance, he called up and said his truck broke down, and instead of doing two songs, he wanted me to do eight, and so I really had to dig back into my repertoire, and so I come into the place, and, it's a kind of bar. There's probably about 10 or 11 guys at the time when I first started to play, and they were just sitting at the bar drinking, and I really wasn't getting much attention on my first song, so I decided to try this little bit that I had thought of, which is taking the song Respect and playing a little bit of it, and then going into a Rodney Dangerfield imitation. So I do a little bit of the song, and then I do a line like, I get no respect, you know, the family's the worst, you know. It all started with my mother. She used to go around telling her girlfriends Rodney likes religious girls. They take one look at him and say, oh, God. I got a few laughs on that one, and then I just kept going with it, and my father, he was no beauty either, you know. He kept taking me to the Bronx Zoo. He said he was hoping my real parents would claim me. I get a couple more chuckles, and I kept going. I did maybe three or four more lines like that, and I had, half a dozen of these guys that actually turned, to face me at that point.
And, you got their attention.
Yeah, I got their attention with a little humor, and make a long story short, I ended up playing the 8-song set, and the owner of the bar is George Strait's manager, and he came over and thanked me for filling in for this guy, and bought me a drink, and about 15, 20 minutes later, in walks John Michael Montgomery, he has one of my favorite songs of all time. It was just, a wild coincidence that I was in the right place at the right time. So I got to meet him, And he decided spontaneously to do about a 7 or 8 song set, which was unbelievable. I'm sitting about, you know, 3-4 feet away from this phenomenal entertainer. And, and this is the first week I'm in town in Nashville. It was just like, wow, what a town, you know. And it's just, you know, I went back there, I performed again, and from there I ended up playing at a place called Fuel. Mm-hmm. And met some great people, again, from MySpace that were booking a writer's night at Fuel, Joy Collins and Joe Razna, and they're just a great couple of people, and they invited me to come over, and I played a couple of my songs. I played this song I wrote for my parents, which was an anniversary picture that I looked at, and the name of the song is The Love of Family, and it really went over. I got a whole number of people coming up to me and, again, encouraging me to keep going with it. And next thing you know, my third trip down there, Glenn Schweitzer filmed a number of my performances, and I ended up almost like the feature act on September 11th doing a song I wrote about September 11th called Let's Roll.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was... It's been a pretty interesting journey.
So it sounds like you put a lot of your heart and emotion into your songs, and they're based on things that have happened in real life and obviously songs that your listeners are impacted by.
I would, you know, I'm the kind of writer that I can't just sit down necessarily and just out of the blue start writing.
Right.
Something's got to hit me. It just, you know, it's one of those things where it just comes upon me, and you know, I'll start. You know, I could end up writing a song in a half an hour. It might take me all day. I the day that my aunt Marion died back in the '90s, mid '90s, I spent all day. I was a long distance away, and I spent all day working on this song. It's called When God Calls Us In From the Rain. And that was really the first song that really got me into the Christian genre of music. And it was interesting because on my fifth trip down to Nashville, I was playing, again, a writer's night at Lyrics down there. And I was lucky enough to be on the same stage as one of the top lead guitar players in town, a guy named Glenn Mitchell, who decided to spontaneously start playing lead guitar to that song. And
wow.
it was just a great, great moment. I've been really blessed with the people that I've met down there and the things that have happened.
Now, Will, we should talk about and then play a song of yours that I've got here loaded up called America's the Only Place for Me. You want to tell us a bit about the song and the inspiration behind it, and then we'll share with our listeners.
Okay. In 1986, it was right after a plane was hijacked over Athens. Many Americans were on the plane, that was the inspiration for that song. It was originally called I Love America, and I submitted it to a whole number of record companies, and Island Records got back to me and said that they thought it was a great song. And then one thing after another developed, and you know, nothing came of it at the time. I took that song, and I should back up. My first trip down to Nashville, I went knocking on doors, and I got a whole lot of no's. But one gentleman was kind enough to allow me to come in to the office. And after 4 trips down there, he finally listened to my music, he liked that song. He just thought it needed a number of changes to it. And I decided that we would make the changes, and we decided to sit down and rewrite that song. So that's how we ended up with the final version of that. And since we've done that, and his name is Mike Kinneman, and he was a partner with Tim DeBow, top executive for Universal South Records. And I was really, really blessed the day that he looked at me. I was dressed up in a suit like a salesman, which is what I do for a living. And I guess he shrugged his shoulders and went, "Oh, geez, here comes another guy."
Wow!
But something made him, talk to me. And like I said, after four trips down there, finally he listened to the music and. He really liked "Send Me a Miracle" and "I Love America." Those were the two songs that stood out. So I really put a lot of effort into those two songs.
Good for you. Yeah. We'll share that one now. "America's the Only Place for Me." We'll do that now. Will, this is Will Ferrarini on In the Country with "America."
Say you're going traveling. Travel a foreign land, but still one proud American man. From the Keys up to New Hampshire, out to the California shore, I love this nation and what we stand for. America's the only place for me. America's the only place I care to see. America's the only place to be. See, you're going to Berlin to see where they built the wall. We need no walls to hold us in. Country founded on freedom, equality for all. In God we trust as we stand tall. America's the only place to be. America's the only place I want to see. America's the only place for me. America, land of the free, is where I love to be. America's the only place to be. America's the only place I can see. America's the only place for me. America, home of the brave, is what we have to see. America's the only place to be. America's the only place I can see. America's the only place for me.
You're listening to In the Country, and that is my guest, Will Ferrarini, and his song, America's the Only Place for Me. Very inspirational song, Will.
Thank you very much.
Now, what are your current projects on the go, Will, with your music? Are you working towards a CD? Are you working on some demos and writing at the moment?
Yes, the latter. Have that song that you just played and "Send Me a Miracle," song that was produced by Cliff Downs. Both of those songs are presently being shopped to some of the top artists in Nashville in country music and Christian / music. And so that's the plan is to try and get one of those songs placed and to continue to sing out at different locations and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the main emphasis is on the song placement and go from there.
Are there any artists out there, whether in the Christian field or the country field, that would be a real honor for you, a personal thrill to have them record a song of yours?
Oh, I've been really, again, blessed that the song has been presented to Ronnie Millsap, Send Me a Miracle. It was just a great honor to have that song presented to somebody that's just incredible.
You know,
he's got such a phenomenal record in music and so forth, such a great person. Same thing with it was presented to Tracy Lawrence. It was put on hold by their organization, and that was just a great honor. So we're just hoping that some of my favorite artists are Carrie Underwood and mm-hmm. Alan Jackson. I really like Blake Shelton quite a bit. Rascal Flatts I'm a big fan of. Faith Hill, Tim McGraw. Any of those people would be, a dream come true.
For sure. You were also telling me a story about singing Kenny Rogers, his beautiful song, Lady. And I believe you received a standing ovation?
Yes. I sang at a karaoke place down in Nashville, and I sang that song. It was, again, my first week down there, and, I was just trying to figure out where to go, what to do and stuff, and I went down there and went in. You could hear the music from the street, and I went in and sang that song. It was a lot of fun. I love karaoke, and that's the thing about Nashville, again, is you go into a place like that and the really great singers, one right after another in a karaoke bar.
Isn't this was like pretty intimidating?
It, everywhere you go, it's like everybody. It's just a phenomenal town. I heard about it a little bit before I went down there, but I had no idea of the tremendous electricity you feel as a singer and a songwriter when you go to that town. For anybody that's listening that's never been there, it is to me anyway the best town in the country from a music standpoint. It just there's everywhere you go there's great people performing, and after you're there a couple of days it just has this contagious effect upon you, and you got songs popping in your head that you didn't have before, and you find that your voice is better, and it's just great to be around so many fellow artists and songwriters.
It's really called Music City for a reason, isn't it? It seems to inspire just about everybody who goes there.
Absolutely, yeah,
it really is. And it's a small world as well, because there's always artists that people run into, and we were talking last night when you and I were on the phone about, I was mentioning I had seen Victoria Banks, a singer-songwriter from Canada, and saw her at Gravenhurst Opera House in the local area, and you were saying you had run into her at, I believe, a benefit, and she was performing, where you were performing as well.
Yes, I was, very blessed in the respect that I played at the Supercell of Giving benefit for the tornado victims back in February of 2008. And, again, it was just an incredible group that was in that. And, besides Victoria Banks and Mary Sue England, those two performed together. Aaron Tippin led off the performance that night, and then Mary Sue and Victoria, and then there were performers like Buffy Lawson from Bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
She played about three people in front of me. I played second to the end, and right before me was David Kirsch, who had number of hits. It's just, I was in there with great performers, and it was a great honor to do that. I did that song, Send Me a Miracle, and I did this new song, Just Can't Make It Right, at that performance. And, it's just interesting coincidence, because one of the trips that I made down there, I flew back. Most of my trips I drove, and the one trip that I did fly, I flew back to Springfield on the same plane as Bombshell and Trace Adkins, and it was it was just an interesting coincidence that.
Did you get a chance to speak to either of them on the plane?
Well, I did get a chance to say hello to Trace, and I did go to the concert that they had because they were flying from Nashville to Springfield to do a big concert in town here. And then 6 months later, here I was doing a concert.
Amazing.
With Buffy Lawson. It was really, very, very inspiring.
For sure. Now, I wanted to take a moment to talk about your song, Send Me a Miracle. I was explaining to you before we went on the air, and I've been trying my darndest to load it up here. And unfortunately, due to, I guess, a technical error, we'd had a show on, you were reminding me, with Patricia. Back a few months back, where I played the song, and for some reason my switchboard remembers the song is there, so it won't let me upload it again. But at the same time, it's kind of hidden it somewhere because it's going back a few months, and I think it kind of puts them aside. So after that long story, basically we can't play it, but I'm going to encourage our listeners to head to your MySpace site where they can hear the song. And
right.
Now, if you can tell us about it, Will, we can sort of lead up to that before they check it out afterwards.
Well, that song, I played at a healing service at the church that I go to in my town. And there was a big healing service on September 11th. And I played the song that I'm working on right now, which is called Jesus, I Trust in You. I played that song. And as I was looking out at the congregation, I saw this friend of mine who had cancer really, really bad. He was in the worst stage possible, and he should have been on, laying on his back. And yet he was out in this congregation and waiting to be prayed over. And it just really got to me. And I think I sang that song better than any song I've ever sang in my life that night. Jesus, I Trust in You. And I went home that night and I started to try and write this song, Send Me a Miracle. I went to Psalms in the Bible and was inspired by the writing and started to write the lyrics and started the chords, the main chord pattern for the song.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea at the time that my son had written the chorus to this song. And come to find out at the end of that week, he came home from college and said, "Dad, I have this song, this chorus. I want to give it to you, and you can do whatever you want with it." And interestingly enough, it was the exact same subject matter. And so that's how.
Something.
Yeah, it was very unusual. And so I started to work on that, and then worked on the bridge, and within a couple months, had the song nailed down where he approved of it, and that was one of the songs that was a demo when I made the four trips down to my publisher, Mike Kinneman, and out of a half a dozen songs that I had on the demo CD that he went through, that song stood out more than anything else, and he said, "I want a copy of that song." And so then I was lucky enough to talk to Glenn Switzer, who put me in contact with Cliff Downs, who is a great producer and has done tremendous work over the years. And again, he listened to a couple of my songs and decided that he would be willing to be a producer on it. And then we really got rolling with a great recording by him. He's just an incredible musician, producer, songwriter himself. He's won two Emmys. Worked on Ringo Starr's album in 2003, and all kinds of work for Glenn Campbell. And he just did a knockout job on the song. I brought that back to Mike Kinneman and played it for him, and he closed his eyes and listened to the whole rendition by Cliff Downs and just said, "Wow, that's one of the best songs I've heard in a long time."
That's amazing to hear. You hear your song taken to that next level, and now it's the same song you were telling us earlier was presented to Ronnie Millsap as well as Tracy Lawrence and received serious consideration from both artists.
Yes, and so it's a great feeling to have that song in its present form. And if anyone is interested in checking it out, it's my site is myspace.com/William Ferrarini, one word, and that's Ferrarini. It's kind of a long name. So I've thought about switching it to Ferrari, but that's the original name from Italy, so I've stayed with it.
Stayed with it. There you go. Staying true to your roots.
Yes.
So that song, Send Me a Miracle, you've just mentioned it's at your site for any artists out there who are interested in recording or just our listeners in general wanting to check it out. Very powerful song, and I encourage them to do so. I talked a bit earlier about Patricia Murray, and she was on our show 3 or 4 months back now or something like that. Anyway, it was great to have her on. I know you've worked with her at Benefits, and along the way you run into Michaela Todd as well, and both of them have been previous guests on our show. Maybe tell us a bit about each of them, Will.
Great. Well, Patricia, I came across her on MySpace. I became involved in trying to help out her cause to bring awareness to mast cell disease, and I was blessed to be in this contest and did well in this contest that she had to try and raise awareness, and then I did offer to come down and play in any benefit that she could put together, and sure enough, a number of months later, after the contest, she had, a great group. Michaela Todd placed second in this contest. It was over 2,000 artists that were involved in that, and she's just a great, great talent, a great person, and I think she's going to do phenomenal things in the music business.
Sure.
Patricia Murray has just got a heart of gold, and she regardless of her body just being racked with all these different ailments from this very debilitating disease, she continues to just have this incredible upbeat attitude. You talk to her, and she kind of reminds me of listening to Dolly Parton. She's just got Dolly Parton has got, to me, is one of the most upbeat people in the world. And when I've talked to Patricia Murray, I get that same kind of a sense. And here is a woman that just has this awful disease, and yet she continues to have that kind of an upbeat attitude. She's always saying, it could be worse, whatever her situation is. And the people that got together on this when we got down there for the benefit, which along the way after we put this together, Jimmy Greenspoon from the original keyboard player from Three Dog Night decided to get involved, he was just again an extremely patient person with the whole system and the concert, and incredible guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met, and John Anthony, who basically organized the benefit and spent hours upon hours of his time. It was just an amazing group of people that dedicated themselves to this, to helping other people, and
that's awesome.
It was a great experience, very similar to the tornado benefit at Supercell of Giving. Again, just people that have got big hearts.
Definitely. Patricia's got a big heart, as you say. And it was great having her on the show when she was on. And like you said, just a great personality, very upbeat, humorous, and just a delight to talk to. And I'll say hi to Patricia because I know she's listening, and to Dusty, if he happens to be listening as well, her son, who is a comedian and a very funny one at that.
Yeah, he's great. He's gonna be a great comedian.
Definitely,
he is a great comedian. He's gonna have a great career.
Yeah, definitely. He's on his way. So it's always nice to have Patricia and Dusty as part of the In the Country family. Now we've got a few moments remaining. Will, could you pass on some advice, lessons you've learned along the way for any artist out there who might be thinking about pursuing the music business? Maybe some pointers.
Sure. I would just say to really work on who you are as a singer, as a songwriter. Try and be yourself, and therefore you're going to end up being unique, because all of us are. I think one of the great things about each of us is we are completely unique from everyone else, and I think that goes a long way. To listen to a lot of music and everything, but take times where you just not necessarily listen to music. You just focus on your own music and trying to create something new, And then the other thing is to go to a place like Nashville and make contact with people. I joined that Nashville Songwriters Association Incorporated organization. It was a great thing. I got down there and went to writers' nights and interacted with people, and it just one thing leads to another. And if your music is, if it has something, it starts taking on a life of its own. And I think that's the best thing that any person that writes songs and sings can do for themselves is to get out there and to get in front of an audience and see what the reaction is. One of the best feelings I ever had was the last time I was down in Nashville and I played that America, and it was really only the second time that I had played it live, and when the audience started hooting and hollering halfway through the song, it was just one of the best feelings I've ever had. And I played it again at the benefit for mast cell disease. And again, the crowd was standing up, and they were clapping to the song. And I think there's no greater feeling as a performer than that.
So, no doubt, Will. Will, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and to play one of your songs. And again, I'll encourage our listeners to head over to your MySpace site to check out a bunch of songs you've got there, and they can learn a bit more about you and, of course, leave you a comment as well or email you.
Great, thank you, and I really appreciate it, Dave. You've got a great show, and it's a real pleasure to have been on it.
Thank you so much, Will, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future, and we will be in touch.
Great, thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Will. My guest has been Christian and country singer-songwriter Will Ferrarini. Tune in next time for another up-close and personal interview with one of your favorite country artists. I'm Dave Woods. In the Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for